We'll now call the order study session for the Mesa City Council for Monday. I almost said Thursday. Sorry about that. Monday, February 25th, 2013. First item on the agenda is to review the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. We'll begin with page 2, items 2 through 3D. Items 3E through 4A. Items 4B and 4C. Items 4D through 4F. Items 4G and 4H. Councilmember Richens.
I was wondering if somebody could walk us through the bid on the 4H, because it seemed like the award was a little bit higher than one of the other bids, and it seemed like they wanted to have the international truck instead of the Ford or the other. So I'm just kind of curious as to why one was. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but I'm just kind of trying to educate myself here a little bit.
Councilmember Richens, the money itself, if you take a look at the award itself, what you'll find is, what you'll find is there were some discrepancies in the bid response back to fleet. There were a number of items that were left totally blank, and when we have the specifications, when they're put together and the sheets go out to each bidder, there is a there's also there is also there's just simply I think I need to be excused. I'm just not feeling well.
You okay?
I haven't felt well today. I'm sorry. Let me try to get through this for you.
Can somebody help you out?
That's fine. Sorry. That's fine.
Had I known you had a cold, I wouldn't have, you know.
Yeah.
Nice job, Dave.
I've been sick.
Sorry. I apologize.
I have a cold. I better be quiet.
I'm just mean that way, I guess.
Yeah. Afraid I got a little lightheaded.
We can beat up on Queens. We love to.
Afraid I got a little lightheaded.
All right.
It's okay. Mayor, Council, let me first introduce, because I don't think Alice has ever been before you, as Purchase Administrator for Alice Binge with the City of Mesa. As the report indicates, there are some deviations that the slightly lower bids had, and so they didn't meet the minimum requirements, but Alice can provide you probably some additional information, too.
There were several aspects of the specifications that Fleet provided that were not met by the low bidder. And I believe one of them had, I apologize, I don't have the bid right in front of me, but one of them had something to do with an articulating arm.
Yeah, there were a number of different small classifications within the bid itself that they just simply didn't respond to at all.
So if we want to make sure, I think the council's all interested in, if they don't meet those specs, are they specs that we're putting in that are needed, that we're not creating preference for one manufacturer over another?
Absolutely not. What in the bidding instructions, every category requires a response of some nature, and in this particular case there were a number of them that were left totally blank. If we would make an award based upon that, even though it was slightly less than the award that you saw, we would then be opening ourselves and invite ourselves for a possible bid protest from another vendor who did complete it carefully and successfully.
So it was just a matter of a couple of lines being left blank versus what Chris described there. And that Chris is right on. That's exactly what we're getting at. The more we scrutinize these, the more it seems like we're not speccing out, I need a dump truck that has a steering wheel, air conditioning, and a thing that dumps everything out of it. I mean, that's the very basics of what we're looking for, right? You know, and so I remember going back to the backhoe example. You know, we wanted, very obviously, a green and yellow backhoe. You know, and it costs us $40,000 more to do it that way. And so, I mean, the cumulative effect of bidding these things. I think we just need to be a little bit more basic in what we're requiring, and it just seems like these bids continually are looking at specialty requirements that only one manufacturer could meet.
The actual bid specification is designed around the requirements of the actual operational department. So they're the ones who are coming up with the requirement that they have based upon the work that they have.
Alice, the items on the bottom of that report, are those the items that were omitted, where it talks about the air tailgate latch, no response, the startability in year one? Are those the things that we're looking for?
The department.
I don't think that they're generic enough. I mean, they were things that I think the operations needed.
So it needs to be able to start in gear one. I mean, that you can't put a neutral and put your foot on it. I mean, what's I'm trying to understand what that even meant. You know, I looked at it and the hydraulic. I mean, it just seemed, again, like we wanted in at international. So I mean, just.
Well, that's certainly not the case. If you look at the awards that have been made just within the past year, you'll see that they're to varied different manufacturers. So there's certainly not a situation where we're manipulating the bid for a manufacturer.
So, Chris, who verifies the need that each department writes, you know, and as far as specifications?
I mean, I think it's done by both. Through? The department will come in and have a variety of different requests.
Correct.
That they'll be looking for their operations. Pete has the responsibility because, one, he has to look at, two, to make sure that the equipment that's being brought in he can maintain and service over the life. But he also does a good job of asking the questions about, is this a need or is this a want from an operational standpoint? And in this case, I'm not sure, and this is being purchased for water resources, so the deviation in number two, you know, I guess that would be the question is, startability in gear one. What's the operational for that?
Well, the startability means that the vehicle itself, with the loads that we gave to that particular vendor, he's giving us a startability ratio back so that we can look at whether it can efficiently and effectively move the load from a dead stop. And the figures that he came up with were less than our startability requirement. Well, I'll give you an example.
By a dump truck, don't they all move from?
No, they don't. I mean, they don't do it quite
I'm
like that.
I'm showing my naivete over the situation.
Well, you're thinking of a car, and in reality, when you're talking about a vocational truck, you're talking about a truck that carries very heavy loads.
Sure. How many dump trucks do you load while they're moving? I mean,
I'm startability is from a dead stop. Great ability is climbing a hill. And each one of these trucks is put together differently by their manufacturer, depending upon the gear ratios selected, to be most efficient. What we're looking at is most efficient movement, because that translates into fuel savings for us.
Okay.
Two of the manufacturers certainly could meet those criteria, and they're broad criteria. This particular manufacturer chose to lower his bid and go with a power plant and transmission combination to get his bid low, to get his price, you know, low to make the award. But when we look back and do the math on it, it does not pencil out to be able to be that efficient.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Beep.
Thank you.
Slowly.
Get well.
Yeah. Thanks. Well. Appreciate it.
Items 4I through 5C. Items 6A through 6D. Items 7A through 8B.
Mayor.
Yes, Councilor Higgins.
I have a question on 7A, and I guess someone brought it up in an email about they felt that there was too much parking going on in 7A for transit-oriented development. I wanted to hear what anyone else had to say.
7A.
Right, is that 7A the transit-oriented development project on Main Street? And there's one of my favorite planners, Mr. McBay.
Mayor, Council, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can I?
You can do anything.
Rehear your question, please.
Oh, I was talking about parking. And are we parked to the minimum there for that transitory development? Are we setting a new standard for that type of development, I guess is my question.
Mayor, Council, the parking for this development is just slightly over one space per unit. Standard zoning ordinance requirements would be about 2.1 spaces per unit, so it's significantly less than what we would normally require. If this were in a truly downtown, really transit-oriented place with our form-based code, we wouldn't even have a minimum parking requirement. It would be based on the developer's needs, their perceived needs for parking. While this may be a little bit higher than what we would see in a truly downtown urban core, I think it's consistent with what we're getting here. This has got, I believe it's over 60% of the units are three-bedroom units, so we're expecting this to be a family-type development. So I feel confident that there will be a higher parking demand than we would normally see for an apartment development.
Even with light rail?
Even with light rail, yes. And to be fair, the parking is significantly less than what the code would normally require. So they did reduce their parking by over 20 spaces from their original submittal through working with staff and through the P&Z process.
So is this going to set a good standard for future development?
I think it sets a standard that we'll continue to refine as we build more of these type developments.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
What happens if we're wrong on that? Parking isn't sufficient. What's the worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario, Mayor, I believe is that the developer, the operator of the facility, is going to have to start putting limits on how many vehicles a tenant can have. They'll have to start assigning parking for this development. Worst case scenario is they start bleeding over into the park and ride facility, and then we have an enforcement issue that we have to deal with.
I guess that's what I mean. The worst case scenario is that they don't bleed into a neighborhood,
right,
and they start parking in front of people's houses or clog that up. But we could have a problem with overnight parking in the park and ride, which at the end of the day wouldn't be the worst in the world because we already have overnight parking. Are they allow overnight parking in the park and ride?
No.
I didn't think so. And that would be the worst case, but generally, I guess most of that parking would be gone in the next morning by the time people, if they didn't read Park and Ride, or they didn't use Park and Ride. Okay. Let's watch this carefully because, you know, I think the downside is, once again, we may have an issue with Metro. I don't think we're going to have an issue with the, you've got either the Park and Ride or you've got the shopping center.
Safeway, right? Safeway?
Yeah. And probably it'll bleed over into that. So just look at it carefully.
And I will note, Mayor, that we did coordinate with Metro throughout this planning process, working with this developer to make sure that they are aware of all the plans, and they have provided their support, at least from the planning side of Metro, for this development as well.
Well, you got to start somewhere, and we don't know what the perfect answer is going to be, but the downside is something that I think I can live with because there is parking, commercial parking, that there's space, let's put it that way. There's space that does not infringe upon some other residents or some other individual that we could find a solution to if we had to.
Correct.
So I feel comfortable with that margin of error. Okay. Thank you. All right. Let me see. We already go through item 9A and 9B. Councilmember Higgins.
On 9B, I think this can go just to John Wesley really quick. Well, was that applicant always planning on rezoning once they got annexed? Was that the discussion up front? I don't remember that discussion.
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, this is a development that did get started in the county several years ago. And under the county rules at the time, where they thought they could be on a septic system, they determined a certain number of lots. But now with the county determination that they need to be on the sewer system, they're annexing so they can get on the sewer system, and so they've adjusted the number of lots to help cover those additional development costs. So that rezoning came with that original plan. And so, yes, along with the annexation, we've already always intended to rezone.
Okay. And is that all in keeping with the surrounding areas? That
Yeah, it'll be the same, pretty much exactly the same as across the street to the west.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Lovely.
Okay. Anything else? All right, the next item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and make final funding recommendations for the city's fiscal year 2013-14 Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnerships, Emergency Solutions Grant, and Human Services Programs. Ms. Albright.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Let me figure out how to put this up. There's no button. Thank you. I know there's no button.
It's a PDF. You're going to have to just scroll through it.
Ah.
It's a PDF. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
These are your friends.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Blanford. It's Peter's. Yeah. Oh, good. Just waiting.
I was going to say, you know, the rest of you can now join in, Councilman Hagan, in my discussion.
Okay. I'm on the last night. Sorry about that. Okay,
geez, so. She was waiting a long time to start talking.
Well, there's no violation of public meeting law.
There's only two of us. Hey, and by the way, thank you for your report. We'll move on to the next thing.
All right, so tonight what we're here for is to request approval for the CDBG, ESG, and Home federal grant funding recommendations, as well as the ABC and Human Services funding recommendations. Just to recap, we changed the process last year, and I believe these are attached as part of your documentation. Staff did a technical review, and that was weighted at about 70% of the total score. And then the Housing and Community Development Board heard the presentations, and that was weighted at 30% of the total score. 100 points was available for the federal programs. 50 points was available for the human services programs. At this point, we are anticipating level funding, but that's because we really don't know what is going to come out of the federal grant funding recommendations right now. So we're moving forward, anticipating level funding, as well as we have over $1.2 million in prior year funds that we want to allocate as this year's annual process. That's all. We gained that by cleaning up all those past contracts and closing them all out, so now we need to put that all back out there. However, if we do not receive federal funding, level funding, we do have to talk about a methodology, approve a methodology for dealing with that. The Community and Cultural Development Committee recommended what we outlined as option one, which would be to eliminate the lowest rated commitments, as opposed to across the board slash on everybody who was getting an award. Here are the national objectives for the CDBG program, as well as MESA's outcome for our consolidated plan. Most of what we deal with does fall into benefiting the low to moderate income. Here are the outline. This is what was used for the human services funding model. And then here's the calendar. Currently, we're here on the 25th. We have scheduled March 7th in case anybody has any questions that we need to come back and answer. Otherwise, we're hoping to find approval tonight. We're targeting March 10th to put our mandatory 30-day public comment period out there, because we need to have this to HUD by May 15th, so hopefully on or before May 15th. Just real quickly, the recommendations were to fund all code enforcement requests.
Mayor.
I'm sorry, Councilman Richens.
Sorry, I just wanted to make an editorial comment at that point, because I wanted to express appreciation for the committee members who had gone through the process of reviewing all these grants, but also I wanted to note the scheduled timeline and then what you did there. The council had been kind of pushing back when we get deadlines that are like, oh, well, we need to approve this week or we're, you know, really going to be in trouble. And so I just wanted to point out and express my appreciation for setting up a timeline that gave us plenty of time to work through the issues and react to things. And I know that sometimes puts a little bit extra burden on our applicants, but I appreciate the capacity building that's been happening over the last little while to get us to this point. So that way we don't have to make any decisions from a rush standpoint. There's plenty of time for input. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we have recommended full funding of all the code enforcement applications. full funding of all the economic development applications. Under the acquisition and rehab, the only one that we reduced was the City of Mesa emergency rehab. We reduced that by 50% from our original request, but that is equivalent to what we received last year, so that would be level funding. Here's where we started to use some of the prior year funds. Because these funds will not be available next year, we really wanted to target them on one-time-only large projects. Last year, as part of the annual plan process, you approved us using prior year funds to fully fund, or as much as we could, the La Mesita shelter, family shelter. We will be able to fully fund up to their $1.5 million request from last year. We are also recommending with prior year funds the Serine Adult Daycare Facility remodel at the senior center over here. And the last three areas here, a new leaf, West Mesa CDC, and community bridges, we kind of pulled those over into this category because this is one of those categories, public service, where we have a 15% cap. So we kind of played with different applications that we could pull over and use for prior year funds and hit that cap. As you can see, we're pretty right on the target there. And here's just a quick summary of where those prior year funds are being allocated. We will still have remaining about $164,000 at the end of this, even through this process, and we can set that aside for any emergency things that pop up throughout the year, and if nothing does pop up, it'll be available in next year's funding round.
Okay, Councilman Higgins?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I don't remember something. Tell me what the CDBG Public Services 15% cap means again. I know what the number is. I don't remember what the definition of that is.
Of the public service?
Yes, the 15% cap. Tell me what that is.
That's a federal mandate. You have a 15% cap under those activities, that category. And those would be where your service-oriented activities.
I don't get it. So
providing legal services.
At 15% of our award. Of our CDBG award.
Can be spent for
now
those.
When you say our award, let's put it in dollar amounts.
Well, we're anticipating level funding of about 3.1, okay. So 15%
so that's
of
our
that.
Starting place. That's
yes,
CDBG
that's
is $3.1 million.
Right. So if we receive a reduced funding amount, we will have to reduce something in this category.
3.1, 15% of 15.1
right.
Is the cap on public service.
Yes.
All right. I get that now.
I'm sorry.
No.
Perfect. So, okay. So that's where you get the 476,000 is 15%. So for the variety of things that CDBG is eligible to fund, you can only use 15% of that 3.1 million for public category. Service
yeah.
In this category.
And public services, I'm just helping.
Your service-oriented type of activities,
right.
As opposed to capital improvements or things like that. It would be your service. So you can see it's community bridges. It's, let me get to that category.
Just to answer that question,
because, you know, this is the big black hole that, I mean, it's very right. difficult to understand than anyone else having a clue that doesn't is even yeah.
public,
more
public service
than
is
me.
A good example of that is counseling. Counseling is a public service. So anytime you're paying for staff to do that counseling, case management, that's another public service activity.
As opposed to paying for a building.
Yes.
As opposed
or
to.
Or rehab or
right.
neighborhood.
Economic development project.
Economic yeah. development project.
So only 15% of that total can be used for actual services.
Public service.
Public service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, federal mandate.
Well, the reason being is that if you look at the title of the program, it's Community Development Block Grant, and it was initially meant to go into things.
Right.
You know, buildings, economic development, things that had long-term, and
with
what they found...
projects for many years.
Yeah, and what they found was that a lot of cities were diverting those funds and paying for their social services. Maybe social services is a better...
good example.
Is a better one than public services. And so Congress came back and they said, wait a second, we don't want you using these development things, so we're going to cap it.
Yeah.
We get it that there may be some social service that actually create the community that relate to community development, but we're going to cap it at 15%.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
That's okay. Wonderful.
Does that make sense now? Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I did it so I could understand it totally too.
It's helpful. I appreciate it.
Tam, can I ask a question? We have the projects that come in through the state tax credit
mm-hmm.
we had last year. And they need local match dollars as a requirement of the drawdown to be able to the criteria, the scoring criteria for those projects. Do these dollars, if it's for a project like that, can CDBG dollars count towards the local match? because we're going to be getting some big requests here for this next year, right, like $500,000 or more. Right. I didn't know if any of the would this be eligible.
It depends upon what you're using that funding for. The state has their criteria, and I don't know if public services could be counted as that.
I don't think that's the right. I think the answer is no. You cannot use CDBG for local match because those are federal dollars. I don't think you can.
But they're discretionary dollars.
Yeah, they are, but they're not.
Well, could you find that out?
I
can see it both ways. Like, once they are discretionary, as long as within the program, and those kind of matches would, if they were coming. But on the other hand, I think the purpose of the matching dollars is to.
You can layer CDBG and home in or home in a low-income housing tax credit application, but I don't think they can go.
We can count towards our credit.
That, according to the low-income housing tax credit score criteria.
Would you get us that?
We will check on that.
We'll check on that.
Because I do know that under the home, where we're recommending funding for Save the Family, for their tax credit project this year, we have to put a certain amount in for them to qualify under a certain thing. So we are using home funds there. So we'll clear it up, though, and get it.
Right, but it's the nominal land lease value that is counted towards the match in that application, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not.
Not the.
Okay.
We get credit for the difference between fair market value and the. Okay, gotcha.
But we'll check into it.
So we can accomplish that with a non-cash outlay.
Yes.
Yeah.
We get credit for the value. Okay.
So here's where we start with the home awards. If you recall last year, there's new home rules, and you pretty much have to have a specific location to get an actual award. So the council delegated to the Housing and Community Development Board the authority to actually approve the individual home projects. All you had to do for part of the annual plan was just allocate where you want, what activities you wanted the funds to go into. Last year, you said about a third of it went into rental and two-thirds of it went into home ownership programs. And now the board, the Community Housing and Community Development Board, will actually do the approval of the individual requests. But we did hear from some of the nonprofits that was creating a problem for them because it was hard to work with banks and actually show that they could get these funds. So we're recommending kind of a pilot program to have you delegate the authority to the housing board to do 4-month pre-awards. Let them come in, tell us about what they're looking to spend the funds on, what they're going to go look for, what areas to serve which clientele, and allow the board to determine whether we could set those funds aside for 4 months to allow them to find the specific location and allow them to work with staff, because we now have to underwrite those projects. So there's a lot more work involved, and they have to be specific locations. So we thought we'd try a little pilot to see if we could help meet their needs. And then again, you'll see the $300 for Save the Family, and that's pretty much because of the tax credit project they're putting in for Escobedo Phase 2. And that we also do have a required set-aside with the CHOTO. So the Community and Cultural Development Committee recommended the split this year be 50% home ownership programs and 50% rental programs. Mm-hmm. So that would put about $205,000 in each one of those programs. Okay, on to ESG. We were given a mid-year allocation last year of 162, right when all the new rules were coming out. We were not comfortable that we understood the rules yet, so we did not award that to anyone. We hung on to that, and now that we have read the rules, we do not have the capacity on staff to run that type of program. But New Leaf and Save the Family have both requested rapid rehousing funds, and that's what that money was given to us for. So we are recommending we take that mid-year allocation from last year and split that between both of them. We also reduced each one of their original requests just a little bit to fund CAS. Okay. On to Human Services. We've pretty much recommended funding. We were able to hit most of the request. Last year, in an attempt to take large contracts out of Human Services and place them in CDBG and put smaller ones in Human Services, we had moved a very large Save the Family request, and mid-year they ended up having some some costs that weren't CDBG eligible. So this year, we're going to look at that big contract again, but we wanted to keep some aside for those costs that aren't eligible under CDBG for them. So the remainder of that contract is funded under CDBG. Also, as part of the process, a New Leaf came to us. We thought they had a duplicate application. They indicated that they didn't, so there was some shifting around to try to make their two applications whole as well. So they received more money in ESG, but we were able to hit both of their requests and keep them with level funding from last year. And then we pretty much, Mercy Housing is where it ends, with the exception of a request through the Community and Cultural Development. We did fund $10,000 for the West Mesa CDC Safety Education and Crime Prevention. Then lastly, the council subcommittee asked to see a snapshot, who all received what funding, all of the funding pulled together. So the last couple sheets are basically total funding that those agencies all received. So where we are is the CCD's recommendations were to the methodology of dealing with reduced funding to go with option one to eliminate the lowest rated commitments, to delegate the authority to the Housing and Community Development Board to offer pre-awards, four-month pre-awards, and see if we can meet some of the needs of the nonprofits. They recommended a 50-50 split on the home ownership programs versus the rental programs on the home money, and then the recommendations as outlined in front of you. Any questions?
Okay. Councilman Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a comment. I got into the process late transferring to this committee, and I just want to commend staff for all the work that they have done, and the work of our committee chair Richens really made the process go very smoothly and fairly, and I appreciated really the stellar work that the chair did to help us move through to this point. And so I would hope that the full council would concur with the CCD recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, we'll entertain a motion to approve. Motion from Councilman Richens.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to approve the recommendations as outlined by staff. And again, thank you to the staff and the applicants and everyone that's worked with this. And Michael, our finance guru back there, thank you to you too as well for the help that you pitched in to make sure that this process went smoothly. It's exciting this year to be able to fund so many projects. And it's due to the hard work of you and your staff to find, you know, monies that were there that hadn't been expended yet. This is a one-time deal. Next year, it's not going to be as clean and wonderful as this. And, you know, there's some good transformative community projects in here, which is what we've been looking for. So appreciate those people who are coming to invest in our community. So thank you. That's my motion.
Okay. We have a motion. Second from Councilmember Higgins. Any questions or discussion? Okay. No questions. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is to acknowledge receipt of minutes in various boards and committees. We have a motion from Councilmember Glover, a second from Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Hear reports on meetings or conferences attended. Do we have any reports? Yeah, Councilmember Higgins.
I will start off by one of our firsts for Mesa. It was the LPGA golf event out at Longbow the last 4 days. It was well attended, and it was it's like the beginning LPGA golf tour. They were amazing young golfers that made you feel not only old but out of shape and everything else that goes along with that. So it was a lot of fun, Mayor, and it's, I think, the first of many. They had a really good time, except the weather was not always that cooperative. But it's a good turnout and a lot of fun.
Good. Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah, and I believe I went to the Kidney Foundation fundraiser called Dancing with the Stars. I could
did
keep
not,
talking.
Did not see you on that.
I did not dance, thankfully. But
actually, you did.
I did dance. Yes, I did.
Just not in the competition. Yes. It's a whole other story.
Yes. But, Mayor, would you like to know, or should we brag about you? No. Our mayor won, what was it called, the People's Choice Award for outstanding dancing with his professional dance partner, which made him look wonderful.
I'm trying to think if that was a compliment or not. But
both.
Whether it was or not, it was reality.
No, and it was a wonderful event. There was, how many people do you think there were there?
1,000 people.
Yeah,
I would say tables.
About 1,000. Yeah, 100 tables. Which is a wonderful fundraiser for the Kidney Foundation. And it was very cool to hear all the different stories of people dancing that were kidney donors and kidney receivers and just cool stuff. Very cool. And it was fun to watch and support you.
Well, thank you. No, it was one of those deals that at the time they asked me to participate, it sounded like a good idea. I don't know why it sounded like a good idea, but it did. And as we got closer, it wasn't so good. No, but it was a lot of fun, and we won. So, and yes, my professional, and she really is a professional dancer, Gergana Slavava, excuse me, was incredible. She was very, very patient with me, as you can imagine. It's hard getting someone who's a pro, who's in great shape. She's less than half your age. She was very patient, let's put it that way. And we had a lot of fun, and it turned out okay. And didn't fall down. That was the biggest thing. So, okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I owe you one. Also like to, some of us, I think Vice Mayor and I attended on last Tuesday the Mesa Man and Woman Award dinner. Appreciate Beth Coons and David Luna, who are named Mesa Man and Woman of the Year, and congratulate them for the service they give to our community, and thanks for the opportunity to participate with them. Second thing is thanks to the Heritage Academy. I had the chance to go speak to one of their senior government classes, and that's always interesting. It's great to see our kids involved and knowledgeable and asking tough questions. It's fun. And then that evening I got to go speak to the Red Mountain United Methodist Church, to one of their groups, a very good group who wants to be more active in the community, and once again appreciated the opportunity to go there. And then I know we were busy last week. On Friday morning, spoke to the Friends of Transit annual conference over in Phoenix, which was great. We were well represented, Ms. Kent and our transit. Of course, Mesa is a big part of the discussion there with our not one but two light rail extensions, and so it's always a pleasure to go speak to people for whom transit is really important. So we thank them. Okay, anything else, Mr. Brady?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder that I think tomorrow is the spring training kickoff, so invite the council to be part of that. I know they've already had their first home game, but we're going to start that tomorrow at noon. And just a reminder, we'll be having our next study session on Thursday at 7:30. And we invite the council to come out and cheer on Councilmember Glover as he takes control of a demolition on Wednesday morning. You're going to be there. He's going to help us with the Mesa Drive. He heard it was getting a little behind, so he's going to step in and help us out with some demolition on Wednesday morning. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Alex and I will bring a first aid kit.
There's about five things I could say, but I'm not going to. Hey, one other thing I'd like to mention that I forgot, and simply because I had the opportunity of going yesterday to the Sunshine Acres annual fundraiser barbecue. Just always like to talk about a point of pride in our community, which is Sunshine Acres. One thing is this is an organization which was founded by people who love other people. And the amazing thing is that they take absolutely nothing but private donations. They're completely supported by other people who are supportive of them. They don't try for any kind of government programs or anything. And it's really refreshing to go out there and see what a great community that is. And they used to be, when Alex and I were younger, they used to be out in the middle of nowhere. Not so much anymore. But they're still, right there at Higley in the 202. Now, just a great organization. Congratulations to them for another successful fundraiser and for all that they do, and they're really involved in our community, so we appreciate that. 53rd?
Optimist.
Yeah, the Optimist, so thank you for everyone who's involved in that. Okay. There's nothing further. We have a motion adjourned, Councilman Kavanaugh, second from Councilmember Summers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.